This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jet in Seattle. Hey, Jet.
Dr. John, how you doing this week?
Hanging in there.
It sounds like you and Mrs. C are doing a lot better than the last couple of weeks. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's true, no doubt. I mean, she's doing well. Yeah. My voice is getting better, but again, it's like I'm just weak.
Yeah, yeah. And that's
I'm kind of like the Jets right now, just weak.
Yeah, fortunately, you'll show up.
Yeah.
So that's always a good thing. I'm never sure if the Jets are going to show up or not, but we'll find out. I'm not expecting a lot. I think the Miami defense is going to have their way. I don't know if Stant is going to play or not. It seems like it was a game-time decision. It's the last thing I read.
Now, who's that?
Knee problem. George Fan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think he had a problem with his home down in, I don't know, where is it? North Carolina or something like that. And so I think he had to try to go there because, again, his family's affected by it. And so, yeah, right now things don't look good for him.
Oh, no. Yeah, that means they're down to, what, their fourth-string tackle at this point? And
yeah.
That's just not going to be good. And you just know that the Dolphins are going to be blitzing from the minute they step off the bus and walk into the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a really interesting test to see what Wilson is going to be able to read pre-snap and how he's going to be able to react post-snap because, I mean, Flacco made him look stupid. But for the one mishap in the red zone, you know, they'd have beaten the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
But he was moving that team up and down the field against them, beating that blitz because he knew it was coming pre-snap. You know, it's going to be an interesting mental test for Wilson to see how much he's learned and what he's learned from Flacco's game tape. So, it's going to be an interesting test, but, you know, he's got no Davis. He's got no Elijah Moore. So the receiving core, as we saw last week, is severely depleted.
Right.
He can't hit a bull in the butt with a shovel on those short passes. He's got, I mean, that's the thing. And I was watching, you watch Mahomes, you watch some of these guys, right, that are just like throw the ball around.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay the price because they have sloppy mechanics. We just need to throw like a 6-yard you know, curl or hit somebody in the flat. I mean, I don't know how many Wilson just misfired last week of passes of less than 10 yards, either bounced them or threw them wide. And then, of course, he had about a half dozen drops. The Jets lead the lead in drops, so certainly that doesn't help him either. But I find it very frustrating that, he can throw on a run a BB 40 yards down the field, but he can't hit a a little slant pattern that's, 6 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
That's just unacceptable to me. I mean, you got to be able to make those throws.
Agreed.
That's just ridiculous. And I don't know what Beck is doing. The other thing I'm a little worried about is I don't know how many cooks they have in the kitchen, but I'm a little concerned once they brought Beck in, they just got too many cooks, and I think there may be too many people in his ear. I know they made the statement that, LaFleur is the boss, and I'm listening to him. But it seems to be the only one on the bench that's talking to Wilson is Beck. And I thought they'd just bring him in basically to work on his mechanics. But it looks like last week he had an awful lot going on between the ears.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and the thing is, I mean, Beck was the one who worked with him during the off season, and that was put together by Kyle Shanahan in that. But so we'll see where Beck can go. But, yeah, it's a mess right now with the offense.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be a mess if you could hit these little dinks and dunks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would move the offense. But I'm afraid he's going to be running for his life because, one, he's not going to be able to make the reads. And, two, you got Connor McDermott playing left tackle. Jeff, that ain't going to work. Fortunately, Michael Carter won his back. But that's about the only good news, I think, for this week. So, and I just don't see the defense bailing him out much.
No.
So we'll see. It's going to be another ugly week down in Miami.
So what do you think their final record's going to end up being?
They're going to end up with 4 wins like I predicted.
Yeah.
But I think they're good. Well, the big – okay, 2 things. First off, the big game of the year is going to be against Jacksonville. I think that's next week.
Yeah.
And that's you know, they're playing for pole position and draft picks with that game. So let's see if they can screw it up again this year and beat Jacksonville. I don't know if Jacksonville is going to rise to the test now that the urban legend is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other question becomes, they play Tampa the following week, and then they play Buffalo. And I think Buffalo obviously is going to have something to play for, so they'll put their full team out in the field the last week. But I don't know if Tampa is going to have anything to play for that week before the last week.
Right.
So, you know, maybe they'll sneak one out because Tampa is just not engaged. But I think they'll win one more. They should beat Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville's a hot mess on offense.
Oh, horrible. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, you can see that Urban Meyer did his best to ruin Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and I mean, it was just Gay's luck in how he's processed them. But that's one thing I will say about the Jets. You know, I mean, they've got some holes to plug, and Wilson still has to grow, and a lot of that's between the ears.
Right.
He just needs experience, and they got to get Becton out there. I don't know when the heck that's going to happen. I'm not sure we're going to see him this year.
Probably not.
I don't think so, because he's not been practicing.
And he's too big.
Know, COVID now.
Yeah, he's too big.
Yeah, I heard that he's like well over 370 again.
Yeah.
It's like, what the heck are they doing with this guy? Who's watching him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this reminds me of Black.
Well, what do you think of Salah so far as a head coach?
Jury's still out, but what I will say is, this, I'm a little concerned. My big thing is he's got to keep that clubhouse together. He's got to keep them going in a positive direction and keep playing hard, and not cashing again away to buy into the system. I do still kind of get the feeling that he's accomplished that.
Yeah.
And one thing in particular, as bad as the defense has been, I think C.J. Mosley has done a real good job of trying to keep these guys rallied. And the other nice pickup, I think, was Sheldon Rankins, because I think behind the scenes, he's another guy that's trying to keep these guys focused and moving in a positive direction, even if production has been a little light on the field. So I think that's what you really got to look for with Salah, is just to try to keep everybody engaged, buying into the system and going forward. And as bad as the defense has been, I mean, historically bad, I think he's got them all still playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not entirely convinced it's a total effort issue, but I just think these guys on defense in particular, they're not making adjustments, they're not playing together, communication is awful, and my God, last week, oh man, you know, there's an awful lot of arm tackling, especially in the backfield, and it really cost them on several runs last game, and that is just unconscionable. The tackling has been abysmal. Well, I'll say the tackling has been terrible in the NFL this year in general. It's gotten progressively worse ever since the NFL cut back on the amount of live practices these guys can have, and you're seeing a lot of arm tackling. Guys are diving at ankles. It's terrible. So that's why I'm saying any team that can run the football with a solid offensive line is going to advance into the playoffs. You know, how far they go, I don't know. But if you can run the ball, and if you can have, you know, the other we're seeing a good job of is the wide receivers. They're doing a good job blocking downfield as well, which is because they're getting bigger, because they're called to do so. But I think that's a new phenomenon we've seen a lot more in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. The wide receivers are becoming engaged downfield and blocking. But, yeah, they've just been very, very, very sloppy. And I don't know if that's an effort issue or if that's a coaching issue. I got to believe tackling is an effort issue, quite frankly.
Right, agreed. But, yeah, it's like, but what a mess. It just continues to be that way for the Jets.
Yeah, and you think about it, almost all of their free agent pickups have not panned out this year, or last year for that matter. You know, they've all been injured, and I don't know, off the top of my head, they've got any free agents that they signed over the winter that are still, you know, playing on the active roster right now. Oh, Sheldon Rankins, I think he's active again. But other than that, I mean, Jesus, you've got LaMarcus Joyner gone, you've got, the defensive end that's gone, Lawson. So we've never really seen the full team as envisioned by Joe Douglas. But, you know, they've got holes to pick up. But I will say things are better there than they are in Jacksonville.
Oh, terrible.
Are we surprised that they canned Meyer in the middle of the season?
No. They should have done it. They should have done it many weeks ago.
It sounds like it. The more stuff that keeps coming out, it sounds way worse than what we were getting or learning real time. But I think when the die was cast, when Lawrence was complaining about Robinson's playing time in the backfield there, and I think at that point the goose was well cooked.
Yeah. Well, then again, the players complaining that they weren't treated like adults. You know, the bad relationships that he had with different players on the team. I mean, he was as bad as I've ever seen in the NFL. I mean, I know Rich Kotite was always the one I criticized the most, and you'll appreciate that. But again, this thing is just so bad in Jacksonville.
Well, the thing about Kotite, I think he was incompetent for one, but two, he was just lazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't around. He had, he had a car that he'd pull up in front of the building, as the story goes. But he had a second car in the back of the team facility, and he'd take off at that one at like 3 p.m, and he'd be gone early. He just wasn't around. So I think that was a huge part of Kotite's problem was, besides incompetence, was he just was cashing a paycheck and was allowed to do so. But the thing about Meyer, you know, I don't know what the effort is that he puts in. He doesn't seem like a high-effort guy.
No.
But the thing that just doesn't wash in the NFL is you hit the nail on one head. These are grown men. You know, these are grown men with agents, and they are playing for a paycheck to support their family. They're not 18, 19, 20-year-old kids who may or may not have a future in the NFL. These are NFL players. They're grown men. This is their livelihood. You can't treat them like you treat an 18, 19-year-old who has absolutely no power against you whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that just doesn't work, and that's just a lack of respect. You're not going to get anybody in the NFL to play for you in that regard. But the other thing is, I mean, it just seems like he just wasn't well prepared, just wasn't around. And the biggest problem, I think, is he's a point the finger and not the point the thumb guy. And it was everything was everybody else's fault. And received no responsibility whatsoever for anything. And that grows really thin in the NFL really fast.
No, it was really bad. And then, of course, kicking the kicker. Now, again, the decision to fire him was actually made Sunday night after they had the 20-0 loss. And they waited a couple of days because they wanted to wait until the owners' meeting and all that stuff. It's ridiculous how bad he was.
Now, what's your impression? Is it a question of a lack of ability or a lack of effort? No, he was just cashing a paycheck.
No, effort and personality. He didn't have personality, and he wouldn't work hard. I mean, he didn't even know the players.
Yeah.
Didn't even know them.
Yeah, that seems to be a huge – I mean, the personality wasn't going to work, and we knew that from the get-go. I think the thing that was most concerning right from the start was he gets the job.
Yeah.
Okay. Now he's going to what? Go on a 2-week or 3-week review to figure out who he wants to be for him to be his assistant coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude, you've been out of football for what, a year, 2 years? Haven't you figured that out walking into the room? Wasn't that presented as part of your presentation during your hiring committee interview? It's like he was completely prepared, unprepared every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he certainly had no either preparation or desire. Or ego wouldn't let him change his ways to adapt to the NFL. And, you know, I mean, you see that with a lot of these guys. They just can't make that jump. And, you know, you got to keep wondering if, you know, with all the coaching roulette in the NCAA, I mean, you got to think that, I mean, some of these college jobs have got to be way better gigs than these NFL jobs because you don't have a lot of the oversight that you do in the NFL. It's not a what have you done for me lately deal in the NCAA as well. And you get the personalities don't necessarily jump. So I don't know. It couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. I mean, it's nice that he's finally being exposed because, I mean, he was a douchebag in Florida, ran that program into the ground, and it really still hasn't come back after about a decade. And he basically, you know, blew this thing up in Ohio State as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as he was walking out the door, he burned the bridge down as he was walking out. So, I mean, it's like, you know, it's guys like that that, keep the teams drafted in the top five every year.
Exactly. Hey, Jet, you have yourself a great Christmas.
Yeah, you too, John. I'm glad to hear you and Mrs. C are doing well, and I'm glad to hear Irish Mankey's doing well. And if I just make a suggestion on the vitamin C, try to get himself some emergency, which is those packets, and it delivers the vitamin C, kind of like Alka-Seltzer. It's effervescent. Take a couple mm-hmm. of those, and it gets delivered in the system much more efficiently.
Okay.
But I'm glad to hear Irish is doing better too, and I'm glad you and Mrs. C are. And enjoy your holiday.
Okay, we'll sounds good.
Next year.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
860-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rick in Norfolk, Arkansas.
We're still getting that right. Hey, John, how you doing this weekend?
I'm hanging
doing
in there.
A little better?
I mean, I'm yeah, not feeling great, but again, it's like my voice is better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I agree with Jed on the emergency. Of course, I like the hard stuff. I do the lemon peels and stuff. And
yeah.
You can, like, snort a lemon peel and get vitamin C. Hey, I heard a call that made me want to call. The person sounded sort of worried about Jody Allen.
I know.
Another fictitious news story like the Russell Wilson stuff. So we're on that. But you know what I think? And like, remember, I'm a sort of a more or less a Seahawks fan, but I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Bears fan, so I can't say I'm a Seahawks fan.
Right.
Paul Allen was a wonderful man with a brilliant mind, and he was a good man, and he saved football. And
mm-hmm.
even though he liked football, it probably wasn't his. I don't know, but
basketball was his passion. Game. Basketball was his game.
Right. And so she's holding a trust for her brother.
Right.
And I'm guessing that family was cut from the same cloth.
Uh-huh.
So quit worrying about Jody Allen and making up fictitious reports about her talking to somebody, a reliable source or whatever. And some of the stuff that I see on like the NFL shows, like Good Morning Football, was great. Mm-hmm. I saw Peanut Tillman. Right?
Right.
And, you know, he sort of revolutionized that little punch karate.
Punch ball,
really
yeah,
a karate
punch the ball
punch.
Out, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyhow, getting back to the Seahawks, the way I see it, it sounds like everyone thinks the band's breaking up, and I see it differently. Nothing's going to change other than them getting to the playoffs next year, because I see this playing out. I really see him beating the Rams.
Right, agreed.
Having trouble against the Bears and pounding the Lions, but then I think it's going to break everybody's heart when we play the Cardinals.
Right, agreed. But again, if this team comes out of it 8-9, they've salvaged everything. Because again,
exactly.
I mean, you had six games, three where Russell Wilson didn't play, and three where Russell wasn't the same quarterback. And so it's like anytime you have a Hall of Fame quarterback like that not playing at the highest level or missing games, you're going to drop. Simple as that. It happens all around the league. Happened to Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers. You go through the whole list.
Right. And I'm not worried about Russ throwing to the wrong places or the receiver not being in the right place and stuff. They have to get their sync back. It's just like an offensive line that's played for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
They're much better than they would be individually. Sometimes they'll leave and become a big free agent, and everybody will have all these big hopes that this person will, you know, be the answer to the running game or something, and he just doesn't quite work out because he hasn't blended in or whatever. Sometimes it's just not the right combination or chemistry.
Yeah, and again, it's like when you look at look at quarterbacks, and it's like how many times has a franchise quarterback or a elite quarterback left a team? Now, we know that Peyton Manning did, but that's when Andrew Luck was drafted. And so it's like, okay. that did happen. But how many other guys, when you look around the history of the NFL, particularly in the last 10, 15 years, have you seen a franchise lose a quarterback? Now, again, we'll see Aaron Rodgers probably.
And you had that huge bump in Manning's pay.
Yeah.
He had a very problematic neck, which is usually, especially back then, that's the end of your career. He just had amazing healing properties. And you remember all the weird stories they made up about Manning, too.
Yeah.
Which were basically unbelievable, but it's enough to scare people. And I think there's a group of people out there. I've lived up in south of Seattle for like 40 years, so I believe there's a group of people, and I've got a little West Coast paranoia about East Coast bias. And they're probably the Giants and all those people are probably sick and tired of going into Seattle and getting pounded in Carolina. And we've made a bunch of enemies, just like the Patriots have over the years, or the Cowboys, America's team. By the way, I don't hate Ken Norton, and I'm giving Shane Waldron his rookie season, but I'd love to trade him for Kellen Moore and Gus. Gus, that ain't gonna happen, but I'm just saying. I'd like to see that in there, or Pete decides I'm gonna retire in 2 years, I'm gonna make Eric Bieniemy my assistant coach, my offensive coordinator, and then give him the team. So I'll make him an assistant head coach or whatever. I mean, associate head coach, whatever. I remember that's a weird thing. It's also a losing combination. But you want to have that succession because Fegraz said when the Huskies won it in 91, and just remember this, savor it, enjoy it, because it might be a long time before it happens again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Hawks' two Super Bowls are recent memories, and that's greatness to be in two back-to-back.
Right, agreed.
So, and you still got the same quarterback, you got the same head coach, you got Bobby Wagner, who I think is playing outstanding for his age.
Jordan Brooks is playing great.
I'm seeing better. Yeah, I've been frustrated with Jordan Brooks because I didn't agree with the draft, so I probably took it out on Jordan Brooks. But they've had some disastrous luck, which, with their draft picks, but I understand why you trade such a low first-round draft pick for proven talent.
No doubt.
So Jamal Adams, well, I guess you roll the dice and you crapped out. But, man, if you don't take the chance, it's that fortune favors the brave thing. And so now they're in a little bit of a hole. And, hey, by the way, I heard Mike Sock say something about trading DK Metcalf, but now that you talked me out of it, I don't agree with him.
No, that'd be crazy.
But I'm trying to figure something out for them because I can't figure out the Bears or why they've had Matt or why they don't have someone lined up to replace Matt Nagy.
Yeah. Well, and I think you agree that Ryan Pace is going to get fired too?
Well, he should be the first to go.
Yeah, because again,
he should have got fired over the Trubisky thing after year two. But
I know that they're already looking at a list of replacements and stuff like that. So you figure that he's going to be gone.
Yeah, well, I think it's still not about the quarterback yet. Yeah. If you don't have your offensive line together, you're going to ruin a Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, or whatever.
Fields,
Yeah, well, especially Justin Fields. I feel sorry for him. He's a tough little kid.
Yeah. But hey, Rick, thank you.
For some reason, his accuracy at Ohio State didn't translate to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Oh, well.
Hey, Rick,
for a good quarterback.
Yeah, have a good Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas, John. Okay. Merry Christmas, Pat.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Kyle in Tacoma. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, I have like three questions. Hopefully I can get them all in. My first one's on Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I've heard you say, Patrick Mahomes is such a better quarterback than Russ, and he seems to sure be the NFL darling right now as far as all the media, all the press, all the commercials. I've been watching Russ. I've watched every snap since 2012, even through the preseason games, and honestly, I don't think I've ever seen a more elite quarterback in the sense where one has done so much with so little. I just feel like, do you kind of feel like Russ might be a little jealous of all the attention that these young quarterbacks are getting? Because he's kind of got forgotten about, especially after he's beaten Brady and Rodgers and Brees and all the big-name quarterbacks. His name's just he's just irrelevant here in Seattle. I mean, he's not in any kind of national news, and it's not just about this year and being injured. I mean, even last year when they were 12-4, they were, you know, not even considered a top 10 team, and they beat the 49ers every year, who are always in the top five.
Right.
But they never get bumped up in the numbers. I just feel like, you know, if Russ was in a bigger market, if he played for the Saints, I feel like he'd win 15, 16 games a year. Do you agree?
Yeah, maybe not this year, but
No, not this year. But I guess if I can squeeze in my second question here is, do you think this team's actually going to draft a center this year? Because for the last 3 years, we've needed one.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all seen it. I don't understand. I love D. Eskridge, a great little wide receiver, but gosh, why didn't they draft Creed Humphrey? They need help up front. I mean, we've got the best quarterback in the NFL if you give him a minute to throw it.
Yeah,
I don't understand why these fans are blaming Russ. We've got a Hall of Fame quarterback on our team and one of the greatest to ever play the game.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what is he, about 8 wins away from tying Joe Montana for most wins? I mean, and Joe Montana played 16 seasons and considered one of the best in the league. Russ is in year 10 and almost got him beaten wins. It's just unbelievable to me, the talk around this town.
I know. I mean, the town's spoiled. Simple
well,
as that.
We are spoiled, but I do feel like the philosophy, there's some differences there. At least, you know, we kind of get what Jake talks about, and I don't know if he's got the inside line with Russ, but it sure seems like Seahawks just want to play on the defense and kind of passive, and Russ wants to just attack and go and play up tempo, and there seems to be kind of a disconnect there, and I don't know if it's John and Russ, Pete and Russ, or if it's just because they're having a hard time getting this new offensive coordinator going. But man, if we don't address this O line in the off season, I don't know why Russ would want to stay. I mean, they're not protecting him at all.
Well, they did the last game. I mean, I thought there was good protection in the last game.
Yeah, it was okay. It was okay. But you know, you look around the league and you see these other quarterbacks and their offensive line, it's a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like, you know, Patrick Mahomes sure has some gimmies where he'll, you know, take a ball and shotgun and just throw a little shell, like a little dump off to Tyreek Hill, and he'll go run 80 yards. And
yeah,
it just pads his stats. I mean, he's got some great weapons on his team, but I just kind of feel like Pete kind of holds our guys back. Like, D. Eskridge, where is he? I mean, I know he had the concussion, but goodness gracious, get the guy out there.
Yeah,
get him some touches. I mean, you know, we should be using DK Metcalf like the Bengals use their new wide receiver. I don't get it. I feel like we have to wait 3 years, like we're in some sort of, you know, he kind of treats our first year NFL players like freshmen, and we got to let them out, let them go.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's getting better and better each week. Hey, thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, thank you. Go Hawks.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Victor in Auburn. Hey, Victor.
Hey, John. Another great show.
Oh, thank you.
Glad that you're feeling a little bit better, but I hope that you continue.
Yeah, I hope so.
You and Pat. Couple quick questions. John, with Albert O becoming more of a weapon, do you think Denver's coaches are unhappy with Fant's production or his blocking or his softness, I guess?
No. I mean, I know that Vic Fangio was talking how positive he is on Fant. It's just a matter that I know Pro Football Focus said that you know, both tight ends are the only two in football that rank in the top 25. So I think you can see they've got, you know, one guy in O that's improving, but no, they like Noah Fant a lot.
Okay, yeah, it just doesn't seem they use them. Use both I guess it's the quarterback limitations at their strength. They're going down the middle or going for a little bit deeper target. And then talking about the quarterback,
yeah,
with, you know, supposing it was all in the Denver media saying it's Rodgers or Wilson or bust or whatever. With Denver signing the two wide receivers to extensions, what if they don't get a Rodgers? Well, what's their next plan?
go for somebody else. Because I can't imagine if they're going to go back with Bridgewater.
No, I don't think that would be an option. Not at a starting quarterback.
No,
especially
no.
If he wants the $25 million somewhere.
Yeah, agreed. And he's not going to get $25 million anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. What other quarterbacks would be on the market, you think, for next year?
Hard to tell. I mean, again, we'll see how it shakes out at the end of the year. But, you know, there'll be somebody available. But, you know, who I can't identify right now which direction they're going to go.
What do you think Denver would be willing to depart with player-wise if a shot for Rodgers was going up?
No, draft choices. I mean, you're making a trade for a quarterback. You give up draft choices. Simple as
that.
Yeah,
but any starting players now that would not be unprotected, a Chubb, any of the Judy or...
No, I mean, you know, more... I don't. I mean, I think they want to keep the three receivers together without any question. I mean, that's why, you know, because they paid $25 million for Tim Patrick and also to, you know, to keep their other wide receiver.
Sutton.
Yeah, Sutton, Courtland Sutton. So it's like, I don't think they want to break up that group. But then that affects the tight ends because, I mean, you see it here in Seattle when you have two good receivers like the Seahawks have, or you look down in Tampa with the two great receivers that they have. I mean, it takes away from the tight ends' chances necessarily of getting the ball.
Yeah, well, especially when Bridgewater only pulled the trigger, 25 times,
yeah.
And which happens to be successful for Denver.
Yeah.
When he throws over 30 times a game, they lose. So, double-edged sword, that's why I think they need a competent quarterback. So if they put all their eggs, I just want to know what they're exactly going to be trying to give up. Okay, and then another question I have with the linebackers.
Yeah.
Some of the team leaders, or some of the now-to-be team leaders, are stepping up since Vaughn was traded. With Simmons taking a bigger role and being more vocal, but do you think how do you rate Cooper's play?
He's been really good. He's shown some good pass rush.
Yeah, how come he wasn't more looked at in the draft from other teams?
I have no idea. That's a draft thing more than anything else. I mean, you know, guy, you know, you get lucky sometimes, and you know, get a guy lower that should have gone higher. But again, you know, why he went the way he went, I don't know.
And then what's your thoughts on Javonte Williams playing this week? I saw that he popped up on the injury report. Is it 50-50?
It's 50-50.
Uh-oh.
And they need him.
Yeah, that kid has pop.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Victor, thank you for the phone call.
Take care, John. You and Pat have a Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Let's go to Ed in Shoreline. Hey, Ed.
Good morning, JC.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas to you and Pat.
Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that you're both feeling better.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Hey, I have a few pointed questions for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number one, why can't the Seahawks execute a screen pass, especially to D. Eskridge, as your previous caller said? Why can't they get him in the offense? And second question, Tyler Lockett versus Brandon Ayuk for fantasy this weekend. I just don't know if Tyler's playing.
Just don't know.
Third question, who's going to be back next year? John, Pete, Russ, or all of them?
All of them.
And final question, who's going to be in the Super Bowl?
I have no answer for the Super Bowl. I mean, right now it's too unpredictable. There's too many things, you know, up in the air. And I've been saying this now for 6 weeks. I cannot predict who's going to be in the Super Bowl. It's as simple as that. You got to watch it play out. You know, too many big teams end up losing to bad teams. Now you got the COVID-19 problem. So it's like, I have no idea. But as far as the Seahawks, yeah, I think everybody's going to be back in the front office and Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I hope you're right. And I hope Russ, more than anything else, wants to be back.
Yeah, let's put it this way. He said it a week ago Thursday. Do you think he's lying?
I don't think he's lying. I think there's no other answer he could give. I wonder if what he said about the Broncos is particularly true. I assume that it isn't. But
What did he say about the Broncos?
The Broncos being one of the teams he'd be considered being traded to.
Oh, the trade stuff,
I mean,
I'm sick of. I'm sick of it. Sick of it.
No, I'm with you, John. I'm with you, John. But, you know, Russ can't answer any questions about trades other than he, you know, is.
He's never asked for a trade. He's never asked for a trade.
I'm not saying he did, but when anyone ever asks questions about that, you know, he can't answer the question, well, I'd be considering being traded to Denver, for instance.
Yeah.
He's not going to say that.
No.
He can't say that, John.
No, but he's not but going to be traded.
Spending a lot of time in Denver, certainly a lot of speculation going on down there about that. And, you know, everyone down there keeps asking me, it was like, well, could Russell come to Denver? And I said, I don't think so.
Yeah.
They do have one of the most favorable cap numbers, the Broncos do.
Right.
But the Seahawks
have more cap room.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're sitting on a lot of cap space. We keep talking about that, John. There's not much they can do about it between.
$55 million bucks or something like that, along with the fact they still have 13 left this year that they can roll over.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's interesting, the cap space for the Broncos.
Yeah.
Their highest paid player is Kyle Fuller right now. In terms of Bridgewater, like, he's way down the list. And number two on the list is Melvin Gordon. And you've got to figure that he's either going to take a pay cut next year or else he won't be with the Broncos. How do you see that
playing
out?
He's a free agent.
Yeah, okay. Melvin,
he's a free agent, so it's like...
He'll be on another team next year.
Agreed.
With the way Javonte Williams is playing.
Agreed. No,
so here's my pick for the Super Bowl, John. I'm sure it'll be wrong, but I see a rematch of the Bucks and the Chiefs.
Could
I
be.
Agree with you. It's very difficult to see, you know, with so many teams losing and so forth. So, John, you've got to tell me, how can the Rams have 25 or 30 players or whatever COVID list? I mean, they've got to not be following protocols at all, don't you think?
You'd have to figure something's wrong. 29 players.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
They couldn't even field the team.
No.
I really think the Rams should just forfeit. That's what
I think they might do it on Tuesday.
They should stick to the rules.
Yeah. Of course, the only thing bad for the Seahawks, Seahawks get the win, but nobody gets paid.
Yeah. How is either team going to get motivated to play a game on Tuesday afternoon is what I'd like to know.
Good question, but they're both trying to see if they can get into the playoffs, so that's the motivation. Hey, Ed, thank you for the phone call.
Hey. All right. Merry Christmas, John.
Merry Christmas. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Risco. Hey, Risco, how are you?
Hi, John.
How's it going?
How are you doing?
Not feeling great, but, trying to get healthy.
Hope you get better.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. So I have three questions for you.
Go ahead.
Who will Trevor Story sign with?
Trevor who?
Story.
Who's Trevor Story?
The Mariners shortstop that they've been interested in.
Yeah, I that one I do not know. I mean, right now nobody's signing because they got the lockout going on. So it's like everything's on hold. So I can't even venture to guess where Trevor Story is going to sign.
Who will the Seahawks draft running back? Because Chris Carson's been so injured.
Mm-hmm. I think they'll probably see if they can draft one. We'll see if they can add one in free agency. But they've got to be, searching for running backs. I mean, Alex Collins' contract is up and all that stuff. You don't know for sure about Carson. I mean, he's still going to be on the roster at training camp and all that stuff. See where he is. But, I think they certainly need to add one.
And what defensive position will the Seahawks need to address in the draft?
I'd say cornerback. Because, again, what you're looking at is that, they got a bunch of unsigned guys at the end of the year. I mean, really, Boston's one of the few that's going to still be on there. But, I mean, they got to do something with DJ Reed. So it's like I'd say right now cornerback.
Thanks for answering my questions, John.
Okay, Risco, have a great Christmas.
You too.
And thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.